Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, Teehee Briefs, quick takes on true crime properties that might save you some deliberating. Today's topic is a suggestion from two different listeners, and it's a weird one. The podcast, I mean. The suggestion made perfect sense. Some of the writing and editing, on the other hand. Let's get into it. Counselors in my chambers for Broken Hearts, the crime. That's Broken Hearts, H-A-R-T-S, as in Jennifer and Sarah Hart, the post-hippie white moms to six children of color who went over the side of a California cliff with all the kids in a Yukon in March of 2018. Jen's Facebook page had curated a portrait of a perfect blended family, the evidence all but ruling out that an accident had killed the Harts and their kids told a different story. As did assault charges, children's services files, and anecdotes from concerned neighbors and teachers that suggested the Harts had abused their children. What is the real crime here? The deaths of the Hart kids, the fearful underfed lives they'd led before March of 2018, or the failure of systems and common sense to act in their best interests, or at all? The story. Broken Hearts is hard to listen to. It's hard to hear how these lives ended. It's hard to hear friends and neighbors narrate the forks in the road that could have led away from such a terrifying end. Although at least my understanding is that everyone except Jen was medicated so as not to register said end. And it's hard to hear the 911 calls that might have made a difference, but didn't. And it's hard to understand how the first episode got past the editorial boards and production teams of both Glamour and How Stuff Works in first drafty form. Hosts Justine Harmon and Liz Egan make a point to say that, while we'll be hearing interviews and files that weren't public before now, they're trying to give voices to the kids, really. Hannah, Sierra, Devante, Marquise, Abigail, and Jeremiah. As they dig into the story looking for what went wrong. A lofty goal, to be sure. The problem is, I think, that the production is so focused on doing right by its subjects and on proving itself a contender in a very crowded field that it overshoots its natural level of diction, or just nobody listened to it and gave notes. The words surreptitiously and egregious are both used incorrectly, only slightly incorrectly, but incorrectly, in the first 10 minutes. Then there's this locution salad.
Hannah and Devante were not found in the car that day in March, and their bodies have not yet surfaced at the crash site. Since their whereabouts have yet to be located, some fear they were killed before the plunge.
Their whereabouts have yet to be located? Guys, I do have good things to say about Broken Hearts, so stick around for those, but right now I'm a hammer it for some rookie shit. I will start with the qualifier that podcasting is hard. Seriously, it is. No shade. It's not always easy for writers who are used to writing for reading to transition to writing for hearing. Nobody loves nesting a bunch of subclauses like this guy, so I get it. It's also not always easy for reporters, whose prose is not always the most naturally elegant, to adapt to what are now considered the traditional rhythms of the nonfiction investigative pod. All this by way of saying that I am sympathetic to the challenges here. Really, I am, but that last clip sounds like a cop wrote it. A young cop, or a high school student. Prior to that, their woman in the field, investigative reporter Lauren Smiley, is described as having a, quote, throaty chuckle. Yeah, no. Show, don't tell. And if you're gonna tell, tell better. She's not a Harlequin protagonist. Smiley is pretty good on the mic, actually. She's not hesitant or elliptical with her prompts. But it's kind of a weird thing, not in a bad way, just sort of unusual in this vintagey Dateline-esque kind of way, that the podcast has these two hosts and then a reporter, quote, live on scene. Why not just have her host it? And while she's up, maybe she could re-edit it? Again, podcasts are hard. All storytelling is hard. I am not above critique on sound levels and whatnot, certainly. And actually, I'm a big fan of leaving people's ums and uhs and dead air in tape or in transcripts to give readers or listeners a fuller sense of what the interviewee is like, how the interviewee speaks, and what I got to hear in those gaps. But quotes should do work descriptive passages can't. And while Jordan, who knew the Harts back in the day, is a good source in terms of access, if she needs a translator to relay the thing she doesn't exactly say, you're not obligated to use the audio. Here's a clip in which Jordan is falling somewhat short of describing LGBTQ plus life in the smallish Minnesota town the Harts had moved to in the aughts. I will also caution you that there's some ugly language here.
It was a bit more progressive than rural South Dakota, but it wasn't exactly the most tolerant of places either. As Jordan recalls,
it was pretty usual to get called a dyke or a fag, and you're gay and everything negative.
It may not seem that long ago, but 2004 was a very different time socially, especially in the rural Midwest. You could kind of describe the mentality as, well, don't ask, don't tell.
I think maybe if you're in actual conversation with Jordan, she's a lot more clear about what she's trying to say. And it's not that we don't get the general message, but you know what I'm saying. And this is one of the more tightly built segments of this type. Smiley's interview with the Harts' neighbors, the DeKalbs, is raggedy with lots of long pauses, trail offs like Jordan's that you can't actually necessarily fill in for yourself. Like, it's okay to tweeze out a couple seconds here and there to preserve momentum. It's not unethical. All right, so Broken Hearts is not going to win any structural awards yet, but I am going to stick with it, and here's why. The roughness of it that I've just been talking about took me aback a little bit, I guess I would say, but it's also kind of appealing. Like, the hosts point out that this story didn't get as much play as you would think after the initial events. And there is this, let's put on a show quality to their deciding this story is worth telling and then just jumping in and getting her done, even if it's kind of B-minus-y in places. And I also think that that roughness has its payoffs. There's one place where one of the hosts is talking about Devante asking for a hug, something he famously did at a Black Lives Matter protest in 2014 and was photographed doing, weeping. In retrospect, perhaps because he was hungry and scared of his parents, but now we're in one of those nested clauses I mentioned earlier, so we'll have to get back to that. For now, we're talking about Devante asking for a hug from a performer at one of the, quote, transformational festivals, eye roll, the family often went to. Evidently, Devante was crying that time as well, and the hug went on for over a minute. And the host says that, quote, it's a lot. And then the tape kind of runs awkwardly of this very vulnerable, uncomfortable, possibly signatory moment. And it is a lot. And the illustration of that is directly and simply done. And the phrase, it's a lot, felt much more natural and true and like what the production is really about and trying to get at, to just say that it's a lot instead of gussying it up in what you think capital T this kind of thing is supposed to sound like. I mean, it's not like they didn't pick a corker of a story. They're onto something, Broken Hearts. It just feels after one episode like they don't think that's enough. And they're still new to the physical process and don't quite trust their own voices. Y'all, just say what you mean. If what you mean is all small words, well, William Zinser was here for that, and so am I. You got this. And I'm going to stick with this one. It may never get more pro, but I think that's okay. It's only 8 episodes, and sometimes a little jangle beats a lot of polished glib, at least for me right now. It'll get your attention. Thanks so much for bringing this to my attention, listeners. I want to know what you're reading, watching, and listening to so that I can talk about it on here. So let me know. That's Blotter Presents on Facebook and Twitter. And Sarah D. Bunting on Goodreads if you want to keep up with the crime books that I lately have actually been giving up on. You can also get extra briefs, snark briefs, and other bonus content, on my Patreon page at patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's Bladder Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm always prepared to rule.